Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Vavrka? Vavrka?
I think he's muted there.
Muted, Dale.
Vavrka?
I read his lips, though. I think he said here.
Shake your head, Dale.
There he
here,
goes.
Okay. Well, Chanowitz.
Very good.
Here.
Is that it? We have to get Chris yet?
No, we got him.
We got him already? Okay, very good. We're all here, and I guess, Jessica, do I turn the presentation over to you now to introduce our guest?
I didn't know if the mayor wanted to say anything first.
Or the mayor, Greg, would you like to say a few things before we get started?
Not only to the extent that I welcome everybody, and I think this is a great opportunity, as we've talked about for the past several months, and actually last year, about how we need to upgrade our systems to be more responsive to our customers, whether they be our fellow employees, our business community, or our residents, or those passing through the city. And we just believe it's time that we upgrade our systems. And Tyler has been one that we have vetted, and we feel it warrants a discussion with all of council. Jess, anything else you want to add?
The only other thing this is a follow-up to the meeting that we had in January. We thought that was a very good, productive meeting, and we appreciate all of your time and input. When we left that meeting, we discussed that we wanted to give you the opportunity to kick the tires a little bit and actually see the Tyler product for yourself. So as that follow-up, we've invited Chris Harpenow and Matt Kessler, both with Tyler, to kind of give you guys a little bit of an understanding of what Tyler is, this enterprise asset management system, and get to see kind of some of the ins and outs and why we were really excited about the possibility of doing an integration. So I will turn it over to Chris and Matt and let them explain a little bit more about Tyler.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Mayor Kurtz. What I'm going to do is share my screen. So I don't know what the video just kind of condenses from there, or if you guys want to keep on video, it's up to you. Make sure you can see here. Can everybody see my PowerPoint presentation?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Again, I'm Chris Harpenow, an account executive with Tyler Technologies, and Matt Kessler is a senior solution consultant. Matt's going to be doing the heavy lifting and driving our demonstration today. What's on our agenda is really just a quick overview of Tyler, who we are, what we're all about. From there, I just have about 10 slides or so, and then I'm going to hand it over to Matt. We have about a 20-minute demonstration planned. We can certainly go longer. Depends, what you guys want to see, but we want to give you really kind of a high-level look at what Tyler does from the EAM, the Enterprise Asset Management perspective, and then we're going to show you the Citizen Portal as well, which is your 4x7x365 kind of gateway into the permitting and planning and inspection side of the house. So with that, I'll talk about Tyler. If you have not heard of Tyler, other than Jessica or some other people bringing us up, we are the largest public sector software company in North America. It's all we do is public sector software. So sometimes we're not a household name, and we have some different product lines, InterGov being in the community development side, what we call EAM in the service department or public works side. We have things called Munis for finance. So there's different products than Tyler. But very strong, very stable company. We've actually been around for about 50 years. We started out as a holding company for various manufacturing firms and switched about 30-something years ago into software. Since then, we've grown steadily through organic growth, and we have acquired companies in different spaces as well. We're publicly traded. We're a debt-free company, which is really unheard of in this space. We're also a component of the New York Stock Exchange S&P 500. So you can read about us all over the internet. Very, very reputable, very great company. And I've worked for Tyler for 10 years and love it. So hopefully 10 more down the road, we'll see. So But we have about 27 offices. We actually have an office in Ohio, more in the Dayton area, about 300 employees in Ohio, as a matter of fact. They work on our IAS World product, which is more for tax and assessment. We have about 15,000 clients in the public sector space, and we retain about 97% of our clients year over year, and we're really proud of that. We're constantly innovating our software and constantly improving that and making those improvements available to our clients. We are what we call a direct from source provider. So we write the software, develop it, we implement the software, we train you on the software, and we support the software. So it's not a third party that we're, you know, ever pointing to saying, hey, they're supposed to implement or they're supposed to do this. It's Tyler. If you have a question anywhere along the process, you're working with our team and our professionals. So the public agencies that we serve, primarily it's state and local, but we also do K-12, we do some special districts, airports, things like that, utilities. We have a federal division that works really kind of more DC-centric and works along those lines. The different products that we offer, I mentioned ERP and financial. We're focusing today on civic services, appraisal and tax, as I mentioned, that's where there's another office in Ohio, but we do things like land records, courts and justice, public safety, K-12. The idea is that all of these can talk to one another on the back end. And we overlay that with a lot of data and insights and a lot of ways to pull information out of the Tyler software. So we call it the connected community vision. Again, seamlessly connecting data, people, processes. Focus a lot on transparency and putting information out to the general public and making, you know, getting rid of FOIA requests. If somebody wants information, go to the CSS, the citizen portal, and say, here, you can find whatever you want right here. And really trying to collaborate between departments and find more efficiencies and, you know, eliminate paper processes. So again, the technology in the middle we call EnerGov for the building and planning and the, you know, GIS, and the EAM is going to talk more to, will be, you know, public works and your world is more service and engineering and kind of the name of the departments on those. But we also talk to fire, tax assessor, we can, you know, talk to court if there's a lien on the property. So these are all different aspects of what Tyler can do and different ways that the software can collaborate and help the city. So again, what the city has purchased currently is called EnerGov. EnerGov is for your building planning departments, licensing, enforcement, and that's going to be when somebody applies for a permit or there's an inspection on a building or a plan review comes in for a rezoning, for example. The last component that we're doing with EnerGov right now is what we call CSS, and that's the Citizen Self-Service Portal. Again, that's the 24/7/365 portal where a contractor, a constituent, whoever can go to access information, apply for a permit, upload plans, make payments. So we're in the last stages of that, and I think we're pretty close on getting the portal up and running as well for you. And what the new service that we're proposing is the Enterprise Asset Maintenance, and again, that's going to be for the service department and engineering. That's more for work orders and preventative maintenance around your streets, around sewer, around storm drains, things of that nature. And Matt's going to do a demo on that today and talk high level. But I talked about connected communities. There are some other, within the Enterprise Asset Maintenance proposal, we have what's called 311 in MyCivic. And that is where a constituent can actually report things maybe from a mobile device to say, hey, there's a pothole here. Or there's an issue with this. They can take pictures that can report up to kind of a 311 back office in the city. And that overlays with EnerGov and with EAM. So, you know, it might be a code enforcement case or it might be a work order. You know, if what comes in, 311 can kind of determine that and then decide which avenue it needs to go down. We'll steal Matt's thunder, but that's kind of one of the things he'll show today. But real quick, you know, we've had a lot of success, especially with portal, on really increasing the efficiencies of agencies. Tulsa, Oklahoma is just kind of one example where they really changed the way they took in their permits online, the online capabilities versus walk-in customers. We did this before with COVID. If you go to their site now, read the fine print, and it's kind of small down here, but it says the permit center is closed. You can't go in and apply for a permit. have to go online. So 100% of their permits have now gone online through CSS. This has happened with a number of our agencies across the United States, and it's been really a game changer for them. Another example was Temecula, California, where they really, it's kind of hard to get there. A lot of contractors were coming in from the San Diego area and having to drive, and they put everything online and really reduced the walk-in contractor traffic. They increased their processing time. And as COVID hit, they had a lot of permits. They put 110 permit types online, including a lot of their fire department type permits. So again, same scenario where everything they're doing is up in the cloud, available 24/7/365. I keep saying that, but that's, you know, it's really a game changer. We're doing this in LA County, the largest county in North America with 8 million residents. Everything is online. The Ohio area, we work with Claremont County, Washington County, Solon, Mentor, Worthington, Centerville, Fairborn, Zanesville, just to name some. I know that always comes up. So, you know, we're definitely familiar with Ohio. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and know Ohio well, more mainly the Cincinnati area. I used to go to a lot of Redskins and Kings Island, but get to the state quite a bit. But that's kind of it on the Tyler side. I wanted to really save more time for Matt in the demo, but any questions for me before I hand it over to Matt? Okay. Let me see if I remember how to change my share here. Stop share, and then, all right, Matt, can you take from there? All right.
I think so, yeah. All right, you guys can just let me know that you can see my screen okay. We can get started.
Yes.
I see the Henderson, yep.
Okay, all right, very good. So where I thought we'd start today is actually with some of our mobile apps. Now, a lot of what I'm gonna be showing is just web-enabled. It's a web-enabled application, meaning you can go to the browser and essentially access the application from anywhere that you have internet. So that's gonna be the majority of what we covered. But just today, since I know you guys are really taking the initiative to be more accessible to your citizens and constituents, I figured it would be nice for us to actually start from their perspective and ways that they can actually interact with you guys by going to a website, but also being able to go to an app on their phone. So if they have an iPhone or an Android or whatever sort of smartphone that they may have, they can actually just download an app called MyCivic. And that allows them to go in and interact. We like to call it 24/7 access to City Hall. So it's just a native app that they would download on their smartphone. And what that app enables you guys to do is really push out all the type of activities and all the information that you would like to your constituents. And it could be, right, permitting and land management related, or Tyler Enterprise Asset Management related, or complaint related, or COVID-19. Are related, but the benefit of the app is that it's 100% configurable and customizable to each agency, right? So the City of Independence would have its own branded looking app, and you guys could have your own links in here. It could be to other websites, it could be to third-party apps, it could be things that just take them to our portal or just to other websites. You guys can put as many of these icons in here as you want. We'll go through a couple of different examples of some of the different communities that are utilizing the app and how they leverage the technology and just some of the different things that they want to push out. And again, it's whatever type of information that you guys want. So it is that true, really 360 degree view of everything government related. So the first one I'll start out with here, and I think Henderson's done a really great job. You know, if you guys live in anywhere like where I live, it's like every week or almost every day, like things are changing, right? Different stores are getting shut down, or there's different vaccine information that we need to send out to our community, or different locations that we need to accept, you know, certain individuals, or, you know, lock down certain areas for whatever reason that may be. And that's some of the benefits of the app. We can send out mass notifications to all the individuals. We can even select certain areas on a map and actually say, hey, we want to notify or send out a push notification to everybody within this location to notify them about a water main or a right-of-way permit or project that's going to be going on. We're going to be shutting down the roads in that area for the next 3 weeks, or just whatever sort of ways that you can envision mass notifying your constituents through, you know, these native apps. themselves, but also being able to serve out information, right? Cutting down on the number of phone calls that your staff is having to take and allowing you to, again, update information in real time and point the app itself to those different areas. So in this case, they've published out some COVID-related activities. They can talk about some of the reopening activities that's going on. It looks like their site may be down right now, but some of the ways that we can push out, you know, different information about different resources that's going on, CDC-related activities. And again, it's all just being done directly from this user's smartphone. You could even embed your government structure in there, so your boards, your commission, your council members. You can have all embedded within the app and also allow them to go in and do really whatever you enable them to do. So if we go look at some of the other cities here, I'll actually switch gears also to Temecula. As Chris mentioned, they've had a lot of success through the online portal, as well as getting people to go and adopt the app and report issues to staff, right? So that's kind of one of the more key pieces that we're going to touch on, is actually the ability for constituents to be able to report incidents and have those incidents automatically routed to the appropriate department based on what's being submitted by that constituent. So if I report some sort of a pothole issue, we know it's going to go to your servicing department to create some sort of a work order, go out and patch that pothole. Or if somebody's reporting something that needs to go to the code enforcement department, so if you have a contractor that's out there doing work without a permit, or a nosy neighbor happens to find out next door that that somebody's building a shed without a permit, or somebody's doing work on their roof without a permit, they're able to go to one location in the app and begin submitting those issues to you guys. And again, based on the types of the incident and what's being reported, we can have those directed automatically to the appropriate department so that those work orders or those enforcement activities are getting escalated accordingly, and somebody's able to get notification and go to a dashboard to know that they need to go out and patch a work order and do something against a recently submitted complaint. Okay, so again, some of the different things here that Temecula has embedded, and then we can also look at Chino Hills. This is one of the more popular ones that I like to show, just because they embed a lot of outdoorsy activity. So a lot of people go there, and they like to look at the trails, right? So you can get an idea of some, again, different ways that they've got their app branded here. But of course, if there's somebody wanting to go out and look at the trails, they can embed different things. And again, this is just basic configuration within the app, where we can embed the difficulty, the distance, links out to other websites. Just a quick way to, again, be that true 24/7, everything that you could possibly imagine putting out for your constituents into a single app. Okay, now I'll go back to my demo site here, and we'll actually talk about the city of Tyler. This is just our demo site. It allows me to actually go in and report issues, but again, all these different links out here, they could be links to our websites, they could be links to the different city web pages or different other things that you could be updating, and again, just allowing them to access through the app. But the most important thing here is the ability to report issues, okay? And so everything inside of this list here is all configurable, and again, it's all going to be tied to a workflow or a task list that's essentially going to determine where this incident or reported issue needs to go, right? So if it's some sort of a fallen tree, we can also provide what's called notifications here, call scripts, so they can get like a brief notification about what's going on. And then of course, begin going through the process of submitting this request or complaint, okay? So they can go in, they can provide this anonymously. We can also begin capturing additional information. So in this case, if they're asking about a fallen tree, we can ask if there's any power lines that have been impacted or any property damage that we need to be aware of on this reported incident. And then of course, they begin going into a map where they can begin reporting those issues. But in this case, since I'm outside of the jurisdiction's limits from where I'm trying to submit this issue, you can see the pop-up that shows in the bottom. So we can use a concept called geofencing, which essentially is a spatial analysis on GIS to determine the boundary as to where this submission can actually occur. That way you're not getting anything that's related to a neighboring community or even a neighboring a county or a neighboring city where that jurisdiction should lie. But in this case, if I was, right, so if I go into the location here on my phone, it allows me to begin submitting a picture, adding some notes, and begin submitting and reporting that issue. Okay, but again, this is just one piece of it. They can also keep track of all their reported issues. They can also begin coming in and having a chat with you guys about that. This is in addition to us being able to send them automated emails and updates about what's going on with this as well. But if they want to come in, maybe they want to check on the status of it. Hey, what's the status? Of course, they can see some basic status here, but if they want to write to you guys and see current activity as to what's going on with that complaint, of course, they've got different details and information that they can see related to those incidents. Okay? So I'm going to switch away from the phone for a minute, and we're going to go back to kind of my web browser here. So a couple of things to note here from the web perspective. Number one is the online portal. So they also have what's called our Tyler 311 portal, right, which is not the app perspective, but if somebody wanted to go to a website or if they wanted to just go to a browser on their iPad or whatever type of device, they can open this page up and submit the issues this way as well. And it works the same exact way as the app, right? Based on the type of the incidents that's being reported, we can have it automatically routed to the applicable department, okay? It also allows people to go in here and do some additional details. They can filter down the list here if they want to look at certain types of incidents. And again, this is a publicly facing page, right? So this is just completely 100% wide open for your constituents to begin coming in, reporting different incidents, and looking up different incidents that have already been reported to you guys. So that way, if they want to come in and see if, you know, somebody's already reported a certain issue, they can go into the map and actually see, you know, whether or not somebody's already submitted that, in this case, fallen tree. But if they want to resubmit another one, of course, they can do so from here. Or if they want to report anything else, they can use the options up here at the top. Or if they just want to make a general request, this is the submission screen where they go through and actually process a new request. And again, based on if it needs to go to code or public works or building or whoever it needs to go to, we can have these automatically routed as tasks to those individual departments. Okay, so very similar here. They input the location, provide some details about the request, on what they're submitting, upload a picture, upload contact information, and submit that request. Okay. Now, all of those submitted requests are going to come into what's called our Tyler 311 back office. So all this page really is basically a database of all those requests. Now, this is an internally facing page. This is what your internal staff will use to create requests and assign them out to each other, or where they're able to manage or pick up the activities that are coming in from either the app or the online portal. Okay, and there's a couple of different views here. Of course, they can look at this from a list view where they can see some specific details about what was being reported. They also have various different filters on the left-hand side here to look at the information. So based on the created date, based on the types of the incidents that are being reported, or they can even toggle the view between GIS. So if they want to actually see geospatially, right, where all these complaints are coming in, they can begin toggling on those views to see whether it be via GIS or via a list view, how they want to interact with that information. And again, based on the type of the complaint, right, we can have it automatically routed to applicable records. So in this case, if I just link into a specific complaint in this case, that's going to take me to the overall view of everything that's going on with this complaint. And in this case, since it was some sort of a vegetation issue, right, if it was somebody reported an overgrown weed violation at somebody's house, based on that type of complaint, there's an affiliated task list over here on the left-hand side that shows me what occurs or what needs to occur when this type of request is actually submitted. Well, the first thing, we're going to notify the citizen, right? Hey, thank you for your submission. We'll keep you up to date with what occurs with this issue. And then the next thing, it's actually escalated to an InterGov code enforcement case, which you guys already own. And if I have access to that, I can actually just link to that enforcement case and look up the status or look up what's going on inside of the workflow of that enforcement case. Okay, and in a very similar sense, I'll let the enforcement case load up here, but if it was a different type of record, such as a fallen tree or something that needs to go to the service department, in this particular case, we can have an affiliated task list that actually creates a work order that gets escalated to our Tyler EAM application. The same sort of concept. If I have the permission or the access to be able to open up that page, Here in this case, you can see it's escalated it to our work order central, where I can see all the details about the work order. And if I need to actually perform that work order, I can open up what's called field work, which is actually where the technician, the field technician will, you know, take some patch out into the field and actually patch the pothole or go through the entire process of adding time, their labor, their inventory, and actually processing and updating that work order. And as soon as we go in and we close out that work order, it automatically goes out and it closes out the request and can notify back to the requester what occurred or what happened against that submitted complaint. Okay. And back to the code enforcement one, right? So that this one went to a work order, this other one went to an enforcement case, and now our code enforcement officer are able to go through their workflow of issuing a courtesy notice, issuing a notice of violation, whatever that procedure would look like on you guys' workflow. Okay, so that's all good and great. So we have different mechanisms to, again, allow your constituents to stay up to date, to get these reported incidents. And then we also have various different dashboards that allow your end users to begin tracking, begin getting metrics, and doing further analytics against those submitted complaints and what's going on from a work order perspective. So this is our Tyler Hub application. It's all end user driven. So based on the user's role, this accessing these dashboards, again, this is going to determine what sort of level of access or really what permissions they have in the system here. So I'm going to open up a couple of different pages. One's going to be more of like a customer service person, right? The person that maybe answers the phone calls or just kind of manages all those citizen complaints that are coming in. And I've got a dashboard that shows me, you know, citizen requests need to be processed. It can even show you a GIS map of where those requests have been processed, or if you have to, you know, approve anything for whatever reason. In this case, I've got some sort of a work order approval that's waiting on me to go in and actually, you know, approve or remove a hold from this activity, or just basic notifications or citizen complaints. What's nice about the dashboard is they can have multiple different pages. So as you guys, you know, work activity management, or if you manage your fleet as assets, or if you want to track service level agreements, there's different ways that we can control, you know, different pages and different metrics that we can begin pulling out of the application. This entire application is called Tyler Hub. It's all very configurable. They can go in and set up their own pages. They can use some of our pre-existing pages out of the box. Here's one that's related, again, around Tyler 301 for tracking the top five types of requests, or which ones are actually needing some sort of attention, which ones are overdue, which ones have working work orders that are associated to them. So just quick ways that they can begin getting metrics. It could be from a supervisor standpoint generating report, or it could be just an end user that has, you know, different incidents that they need to be going in and actually working on. Okay. And again, it's all based on the end user. So if I switch gears again, you'll see another page, and this just the same exact application, but in this case, it's more of a managerial standpoint from the servicing department standpoint, right? From that work order standpoint, how much, you know, what's our overall cost? What was our planned cost versus what we're actually costing? What's the cost breakdown compared to our labor versus our inventory tracking versus the amount of supplies or equipment that we're leveraging, and being able to manage all these different types of work orders and see over time, you know, the amount of costs that we're doing, or from an asset management perspective, are we doing too many replacements? Do we need to start doing repairs versus replacing these, or is it time to begin replacing these assets? You've got full-on flexibility with going in and managing, you know, different activity from a work order perspective, as well as a asset performance or asset tracking perspective. Okay, so again, a lot of different ways that we manage the different costs affiliated against those work orders, and it really all stems back to our overall assets, right? So as you begin doing work orders, even if you're repairing certain assets, or if you're just going out and doing these kind of one-off citizen complaint follow-ups, we're still able to track all the costs around all of that. But again, if they're tied back to assets, they link back to what's called our asset registry, which is essentially just a database of all the different types of assets. So all of your streets, all of your snow plowing routes, your sewer lines, your water mains, your water lines, your hydrants, essentially any types of assets that the city is managing, they're going to be logged and stored in our asset registry. So inside of our asset registry, I'll kind of open up a couple of different ones here. You can see these are just advanced searches that I've saved, but you can basically go in and search based on asset categories or asset types in the application. But in this case, I've got some, you know, my snow routes in here as assets, my street segments as assets. I've even got my water mains, my hydrants, all embedded as assets. You can come in and just grab one of the searches, and that's going to go in. It's going to pull up all the assets that match that criteria, match that search criteria that I've embedded there, and it pulls up a list of those assets. And then I've got additional views here that I can look at. So if I want to see things geospatially, and this is actually one of our guys' trucks here in the office here, but I'm actually, my data is over here in Chicago. But it can, you can actually show somebody's real-time vehicle. If you've got a GPS device hooked up in their device, you can actually, or in their truck, you can actually see where they're at. But in this case, geospatially, again, we can begin coming in and interacting with our assets through a mapping view, or we can toggle the view between the list view and between GIS. So it allows us to come in and begin interacting with specific types of assets, begin looking at work orders, adding work orders against those assets, and managing those assets from a GIS view or more of a listing type of view. And what's nice is based on the type of the asset, so we'll use a simple example here. We'll just say somebody's tracking a truck or some sort of a, you know, a vehicle as an asset. Based on the type of the asset, we can configure specific information to control around these assets. So, you know, once your insurance gets expired or maybe this truck's no longer covered under the warranty, we can send out notifications around that. You can also track the work order history relating to this asset. You can manage the specifications, really whatever data that you want relating to those assets. And then, of course, as you begin doing work orders against those, it's going to begin managing the overall work order history. So anytime you're making any fix, like an oil change, a car wash, a general repair, a headlight, all this is being tracked and logged against the asset, which, again, all the cost that's occurring on these work orders are just going back to the total cost to maintain that particular asset. And then again, we can generate rules that determine, you know, when we need to replace these assets versus doing general repairs. Okay. And then, of course, you can associate preventive maintenance cycles. So anytime you're doing oil changes, brake repairs, car washes, or on, you know, on hydrants, if you're doing flushings, if you're doing inspections, you can queue up those work orders automatically on these by use of the preventive maintenance cycles. And then, of course, under the history log, this is where all the history gets stored. So as you use equipment, or we can even pull in odometer readings from various other applications to pull in odometer readers, hour meter readings, miles per gallon, the unit cost, inspection history, downtime, the failure, as well as any inventory parts that are being utilized to go in and actually complete these work orders. Okay, and there's really two different ways that people can complete work orders. That's done through one, our field work, which is really designed to be run from a tablet, right? Everything that we've been showing is really designed to be run from really any type of device. It uses technology called responsive UI, so the screen just responds to the size of the device that the end user is looking at. And so inside of this field work app, they can open this up from an iPad or some sort of a tablet in order to access and perform their work orders through more of a tablet view. In a second, I'll switch gears and go back to my phone. We also have a native app for phones that they can go to and actually complete their work orders from a smartphone. Okay, so at this stage, inside of field work, this is where people would actually complete their work orders. So in this case, let's just say somebody's doing a tire replacement. I'd link into that work order, and this is where they'd be, again, actually seeing what type of work order they're doing, and then adding any sort of task and resources where all that cost is going to come in on that particular work order. So it lets me know, you know, who the servicing department is, what the priority is, what type of maintenance we're going to be doing. But if I'm the technician and I'm just doing the work, right, we're not trying to make things difficult from a software perspective, right? Everything they're going to be doing is right here under this task and resources tab, and it shows them the task that they're doing, and here they can begin going in. They can begin adding their time and labor behind the scenes. If they've got an affiliated rate that we need to add to the cost of that work order, it could be an hourly rate, it could be a standard, you know, classification rate or mechanic rate, however you guys do that, we can configure different rates could charge against that, as well as inventory and equipment, right? So if you have a piece of equipment that you rent out and you want to track the cost of that, or if you want to add a piece of inventory out of a warehouse or out of a closet somewhere, you can track pieces of inventory and add those onto the work orders to generate the cost of those, as well as outsourcing and tracking any sort of supplies against that work order as well. Okay, and that's kind of the long version of it. We also, again, have a native app, and I'm going to switch gears back to my phone. And this is more the lightweight way of performing a work order, right? If they don't need to do a lot of research, they don't need, to go and research the asset while they're doing the work order. This, again, is just a native app. It's called Field Sheet. You can download it in the Android store or the iOS store. And it's a simple way for them to pick up and perform, do exactly what we just showed, right, with the tablet version through a native app, right? So if I'm going out and I'm just doing some sort of a road repair, I would simply link into that work order and begin processing that work order. So everything that I'm doing is really all done down at the bottom of my iPhone. So in this case, I'd open up that menu option, and it loads up all the same things that I could have been doing on that task and resources tab, right? So the idea is they would go out, they'd input their time and say, okay, my crew or my team or I myself spent 3 hours on this, and they can associate the cost of that labor rate from the field on their device, and then they begin adding any equipment, right? If they're adding any trucks or if they need a backhoe digger, something of that nature, they can go pull that piece of equipment out, as well as things like inventory. And what's cool too about the inventory is a lot of agencies are now barcoding their pieces of inventory. So instead of me having to go out and dig through a list of inventory items, I could just use the barcode scanner to go and scan that item of inventory and have it automatically pulled onto that record. But it does show you, the quantity on hand and some basic things that you can actually pick up for that type of work order. And then, of course, if there's a checklist items or if they need to take pictures, they can do all of that through the app. And then, of course, they come in, they just simply update the status of that work order, and it just gets updated back into the central server. And what's also nice about the app, too, is it uses a technology called Store and Forward. So even if they lose connection to the internet while they're processing these work orders, as soon as they hit connection, it will automatically sync up back to the central server. Okay. And then lastly here, we also have some very nice managerial tools, of course. I mentioned the Tyler Hub here, where there's lots of different metrics, lots of different activities that we're managing from a work order management perspective. And even for the technicians, right, there's even a page here called Work Order Queue. So if there's certain ones that are currently assigned to them, they've got their own dashboard, right? They just log in. Here's all the work orders that I need to be working on, the technician. And as my manager, of course, they've got different activities that they can begin managing and seeing from a high-level view, what our overall activities are, how much we're spending on labor, how much we're spending on inventory versus supplies versus equipment, and breaking those down and seeing over time what needs to be done, okay? And then they also have what's called this Work Manager Utility, which is designed for scheduling out work orders, right? So in this case, I've got all of my unscheduled work on the right-hand side, and I can either begin coming in and just simply dragging and dropping these onto the calendar and then begin assigning those out if I want to assign it to an employee, to a crew, a vendor, assign it to a specific person, or they can come in and have another view of the actual employees' calendars and actually see what's going on with these individuals for a particular day, for a particular week, and begin assigning those out from here as well. So they can just simply drag it onto somebody's calendar and have those routed, again, to those individuals' dashboards or to their app, right? They just pick up the app, they've got all their work orders on their app, and they're able to begin processing those activities. Okay? So that's really pretty much everything that I had for us to cover. Of course, like Chris said, we're happy to stick around. We're happy to show additional things. Actually, before I do turn it over, the last thing here was the online portal, because this was another thing that's big for your contractors, developers. Of course, they can submit the request here. But this is kind of a mock-up of what, we just kind of mocked up a simple example here earlier today. But one of the benefits of the online portal is, again, people can go online to research public information, right? People can go online to look up permitting, planning, inspection, code enforcement related activity all on their own. They don't even have to be a logged in user. Now, one of the important things about having the online user or the registered user is the ability here for them to have their own personalized dashboard, right? So any permitting applications, planning applications, inspections, invoices, anything that you guys are going to be managing from that land development side, they've got their own personalized login where they're able to submit applications, submit requests, look at today's inspections, actually work that they need to be taking on, anything, any invoices they need to be paying, permits that need their attention. They can get fee estimations, really as much information, as much activity as you want to surface out to these to those individuals.
And that's what we're finishing right now for the InterGov side. This is we call it, a lot of acronyms we're throwing at you. It's called CSS, Citizen Self-Service Portal. So, yeah.
So with that, I'm going to kind of shut up now and open up for questions, and we can really go whatever direction you guys want to go.
Yeah, I mean, we typically, sometimes we'll do a whole hour demo on the EAM. We can do... We've done 4-hour demos on InterGov, so I know you guys don't want to go through all that, but we want to make sure that you get a taste of everything that we're offering. And again, it's going to be kind of the MyCivic application in the 311, and that feeds into InterGov as well as the EAM side, the asset management side. The asset maintenance is going to take care of work orders for your streets, your sewers, your snow plowing, things like that. So it all kind of ties together neatly on the back end.
Dave? Yes, Jim, go ahead and ask your question of either Chris or Matt.
Thanks, yeah, appreciate the demonstration. That was very thorough and helpful. How have you found, having civilians run, how do you do the training to get the residents and the business community? Do you do that? Do we do that? What's your process? It would seem that that would be a task, and just wondering what your experience has been and what the plan is.
Sure. You want to take that one, Matt, or you?
I guess some of the feedback I've gotten, it's a little bit different now. I've seen it work both ways. What we've done on implementations where we've gone on site with you guys and, invited some of the contractors, some of the guys that you guys would be doing, the majority of the work that goes on in the community, inviting those guys in, getting them, acclimated with the online portal and actually training them on how to do certain things on the portal. From the app perspective, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of training involved for the constituents. As you probably saw on the app, it's really lightweight. It's just really intuitive and simple for them to kind of pick up. And it's not something that we necessarily see a lot of training. If I could open back up the app, right? I mean, it's just more intuitive and kind of guided through what they're trying to do. But from the online citizen self-service side, when they're submitting permits or submitting planning applications, typically it's nice to kind of invite a couple of the contractors in and kind of get them an idea. We've also had customers that'll go out and they'll build videos, like how to's, and provide links on the web page and videos of how to do certain things for the people that are just going to be going online to use it for the first time. That way they've at least got some videos and stuff that they can follow. So a couple of different ways.
Will you pull up just on apply and just apply for a permit and show the visual workflow to just apply for something generic and just show how the visual workflow kind of loads?
Yeah, that's a good point. So this is really nice too for the contractors, right? It's kind of a guided process, right? We're not trying to make things complicated here. I actually worked for a contractor for many years, and he wasn't the most tech savvy of individuals, but so what we're trying to do from an online portal perspective is really make it essentially dummy-proof, right? So that it's just kind of guiding the person through what the requirements are for that application and also telling him as a part of the application what he can do, right? Because we also interact with GIS to verify zoning information. We can look at flood zone information and verify certain things that are going to occur based on the location of the property and also help guide him through that application process. So he realizes, number one, he doesn't have to come down to City Hall to submit these applications again. And number two, he can open this up from his smartphone. He could be on a job site. He could be in his office, still submitting his plan sets and going through the entire process without really even having to interact with you guys. Because you can see here, right, when they're applying for a commercial building, it's going to ask for the location. The location, based on what GIS tells us, that's going to determine what can even occur here. And then it's basically just going to guide him through and say, okay, what's the square footage? What's the valuation? We need your contractor here. If we need a design professional or whoever else it needs to be, he actually has to go in and upload certain information in order for this to be a completed application. Again, we're not trying to make it difficult, which is why it's kind of that step-by-step process. Okay, we've got all your contacts. Let's capture some additional information. What's the number of stories of the building going to be? What's the number of sprinkler heads, bedrooms, you know, bathrooms, whatever you're trying to figure out. And then here's the required documentation. Here's a digital signature. So it does truly just kind of guide him through those application processes.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Dave, I have a couple questions. On where the resident can call in a complaint or take a picture of a pothole or whatever, is there a way to let's say 10 people drive past this pothole, after somebody puts it in, is there a way to let the other ones, hey, we already know about this, there's no need to submit any, you know, more complaints or issues?
Well, we can. However, they do still have the option to submit it. Now, one thing that we can do is have those cases automatically linked, right? So that way it gets closed out, or one of them gets closed out, it's going to close out all of those complaints. You don't have to worry about it, you know, having to go back and update the status of one of them. We can alert them, but we can't really prevent them from still going forward and submitting it, if that makes sense.
Okay, can you block someone from, let's say you got somebody that every day they're just sending, you know, all this crazy stuff in. Can you block someone from sending in their issue or complaint?
So we can block an individual. And also, one thing that we're looking into doing, we don't do it yet today, but it's one of the things that we're looking into doing, is designating like how many somebody can submit within a certain time frame, right? Like you're saying, if somebody's just going in every single day and submitting 10 or 15 different complaints to you guys, we are looking at ways to either cap that or kind of limit exactly how much. It hasn't been done today, but that is something we are looking to do.
Okay, and then as far as information, is there a way to keep some of the information internally that, you know, one department writes to the other so the public can't see that?
Yes, yeah, that's an important piece too, especially here on really on the land management side. So one thing big to note here, so people can actually go online and, right, they could go look up a property and look up details about that property. What's cool about this is that you guys can control exactly how much information you push out there. So some agencies will say, right, here's some permitting, planning, and inspection and code enforcement data. Some agencies say, code enforcement, too personal, we're not publishing any of that. So this wouldn't even show up here. And then based on the types of permits, based on the types of inspections and planning cases, you can choose which types that you push out there. And then with each type that you push out there, you get to control exactly what data that you're pushing out. So a lot of people don't want to put information, or they don't put inspection details out there. They don't put contact information out there. They just show the address and, you know, what type of application's out there. So yeah, you can absolutely control how much of that they can actually see.
Then my last question is, does Tyler have a fuel system where we can record how much fuel each truck puts in, or police car,
we do not. That's actually one of the things that Tyler does not, that's not currently provided from a city or county standpoint. We've built integrations, or we have a flexible import utility. So if you use Fuel Master, Gas Boy, any of the, you know, kind of the brand names out there for managing that, we have an automated integration that we can leverage. I think it's their API that they publish out, and it pushes out their odometer readers, their hour meter reading, So as long as you guys have a system like that in place, we can interface with it, but it's not one that we actually provide today.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Great questions.
Thanks, Jim. Any other questions?
If you do have questions, and if you want to follow them through Jessica or to me directly, I don't know if you have my email, obviously we'd be glad to answer them. We could walk through another demo if you ever wanted to see it, or just address any questions if you think of them, you know, 5 minutes from now and say, oh, why didn't I ask that? So,
gentlemen, I have a question.
Okay, sure.
How does this impact our workforce going forward? The vision is to have Tyler or someone provide the ability to track our information, quantify it, regurgitate it, make it functional and useful, and something we can use in our future planning, etc. The question it relates to your experience with personnel, what it's going to take to, do we have to add personnel, with this save personnel? Give me a broad stroke impact on communities that you taken through this or upgraded this model?
Sure. Yeah, I can answer that. That's a great question. You know, obviously, we're trying to make you more efficient. You know, and if that's saving man hours or, you know, reallocating hours in other places, that's something that we hope we can help you out with. You know, we're not trying to replace personnel or anything like that, but, you know, the idea is we're getting rid of paper processes and we're putting things online that, you know, before you had to do searches for your requests for and spend a lot of manual labor hours on. So, you know, we have lots of ways, I have lots of different kind of case studies where we quantify that, where we've shaved off, you know, hours on searches, where online payments have taken, you know, dramatically less time to calculate and to process versus somebody having to come in. So, you know, again, the other side is collaboration. It's not, you know, you as the mayor having to call everybody, hey, what's going on? How many permits do we issue this month? Hey, what's going on? How many work orders do we have? You can have a dashboard where you can look at that as well. So it's providing more information to everybody and making that more visible. So I know I'm a little general on that. It's, we do have some case studies. I have some metrics behind a lot of this, but you know, we don't ever want to get in a position where we're saying, hey, you know, we're going to come in and this can replace so-and-so, but I think the idea is to really make you more efficient across the board, to make everything more transparent across the board.
Well, that's a good, you made a good point about being able to make it more easy, user-friendly for members of council, myself, and department heads, to be able to retrieve information on a timely basis. That seems to be a major benefit. But as a tangential to that is that we need to have somebody, I'm process, owning the outcome. You know, great, so we spent $130,000 plus on the building software upgrade, which is important because we'll be much more efficient for our customers. And we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars more now, potentially, to make sure our information is accurate, make sure it's retrievable, make sure it helps us make better decisions so that we can eventually become more efficient and save money and an overall strategy. Do we have to have someone owning the outcome, or you mentioned the word collaborative? And I guess, how important is it to have someone? Do we need to, I don't want it to be dependent on Tyler other than for upgrades. And my understanding in talking to the team we've assembled to research this is that the upgrades are going to be part and parcel as you define a better way of doing something, a new software upgrade that you're going to, we get that free or we get that as part of our package. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Yeah, we call it Tyler Evergreen so that whenever there's a, you know, we improve the product, you get that, and we roll that out in the service pack. Typically, it's quarterly. So if there's, you know, it might be a bug fix, it might be just a process change, but if we are making kind of a drastic improvement, you're going
to get. So how important is it, Chris, is to you don't want someone to ever come back on Tyler, well, it didn't work. We went with Tyler and it didn't work. what safeguards or what do you build into the system to discipline the entities that buy your products and your services to make sure that it's a successful introduction, it's a successful, we can have benchmarks to mark our successes as we go along the first month, 6 months, 12. Do you have benchmarks and do you have the tools that force the discipline or alert me, for example, that, hey, there's a shortcoming going on, or your team, or I'm being a little broad stroke on that.
Yeah, no, I follow you. So what, kind of a walk through it a little bit, we go through an implementation process. We do kind of an assess, define, we do user acceptance testing with you guys to make sure that the build is what you guys are looking for and we're on track. And then when we go live, we're with you and we support a go live. And we typically do that on site, you know, COVID being what it is, we're doing a lot of the handholding over the internet like this. But once an account goes live, we hand it to the InterGov or the EAM support teams. And that those teams, I think there's 50 individuals that work in that department that are working with you guys on any incidents and making sure that everything is working right with the software. If there are questions, they respond to that. As far as the implementation side, I know there's a lot of there's a lot of points and metrics we're saying that we're achieving this, we're getting this done on time, and we want to get things done as fast as, you know, on schedule with you guys. It's important. I know it's important to you guys. It's important to us too. We have a lot of projects to do. But once you're in support, we have different kind of levels of support. If something is minor, to say, hey, you know, had a little button that wasn't firing right, you know, hey, you know, put that as something we're gonna fix within the next day or two. Or if you call and say something is going wrong with the software, I mean, that's more of a red alert. We take care of that immediately, and we're online with you trying to replicate that and so forth. We are proactively behind the scenes putting out bug fixes, and we're hosting for you so that anything that's improved, we're doing that. You don't have to be involved on behind the scenes on doing that side of it. So when there is a release of kind of a new service pack, we do alert you of that. We let you know what's going on there, and that we are going to release that into the software. So you're always kind of made aware of anything that's happening on that.
And so I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And from the user side of it, I mean, it's, we try to monitor our costs, monitor our expenditures, and we'd be putting a lot of money into this.
Yes, certainly.
To make sure that our customers, whether they be myself, console, whether they be department heads, whether they be our business customers or our residential customers that can learn, adapt, and grow into this. It's all about becoming more efficient, more effective, and cost savings in terms of lost man hours, lost productivity. It all boils down to productivity for me, but I just want to know that the partner that we take on this, that they will push us if we need to be pushed, and they'll be able to absorb when they have to absorb, because failure is not an option when you're spending this kind of money. And so do you ever come across a situation where your clients or customers didn't really embrace what you were trying to achieve, and then how did you deal with that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's, you know, you mentioned the word collaborative. It's a collaborative effort on our project team and you guys as well. I mean, we can't just, you know, you can't just say, hey, guys, build us something and deliver it to us. We need your input, and we need project leads. We need people like Jessica that are really involved and that have the vision and know what you guys are looking for. And, you know, when we did the InterGov side, working with Mike's group and identifying, you know, what are your permit types? What are your fee schedules? What happens when the workflow, when this happens? So we do need some input. We need kind of a, you know, some lead folks on your side to take ownership and to, you know, make sure that we're driving down the right side of the road and we can deliver everything. So that's important. I mean, we've had projects, you know, I've been doing this 10 years. I will tell you, most everything I've done has gone great. There's been a few that have gone sideways, but typically it's because nobody wants to do anything on the other side, and they point fingers at us, you know, do it all for us. Well, what are we building? You know, what are we got to know what we're doing here, you know? And so those are some of the issues I think sometimes we would get into, and you know, hopefully we avoid anything like that where there's like finger pointing or you know.
Sure. We have a number of department heads on the Zoom call right now, and I just want to make sure that they know what's expected of them. You said collaborative. You said it's a partnership. You said there's this constant dialogue going back and forth. And
that's right.
We have to develop a leadership team that's going to constantly monitor and improve. So as you provide these so-called evergreen products and upgrades, that we can, on a timely basis, integrate and make sure that we're not getting behind on information out. So it sounds to me like this is you start embryonic, like we did with the billing department, and in this case, CRM would allow us to integrate more quickly with the different customer groups. But it really sounds to me like that the message to my team and to council, if they choose to invest in this strategy, is that everyone's got to play a role. And the only way we're going to make this really productive and increase our productivity is if everyone supports, buys into, and then they get their teams to buy into as we go down the chain, so that chain of command, so that we have a fully integrated system. Everybody knows that, and do you have support at entry-level people so that everyone feels validated and feels valuable and their input's important?
Absolutely, and that, you know, training is a big part of it and making sure everybody's involved. And Matt and I will both attest to this. You know, Matt used to work kind of on the training side, sit in a room and you'd see the person with the office, you know, it's like, I'm not changing. Well, it's something new, and I think that's part of opening your mind that this is, you know, the vision, and this is why we're doing this, and explaining it, not just, you need to do this now, you need to push this button, you know. Yeah. And I think that's part of the vision of it is, you know, going through the training and understanding why that we're doing this and understanding how their life will be easier. You know, I think a lot about the building side, you know, we started working with the iPads, you know, like 8 years ago, and we had inspectors that would say, I'll never use that. I've used my clipboard for 30 years. And I get it. You know, I was a builder. I've been there. And then we give them the iPad. They get out in the field. They start taking pictures. They do real-time inspections, and the wheels start turning. So, you know, that's part of the process and change management. And again,
So you take the truck driver. Well, I'm an old truck driver, by the way.
Sure.
And I have my CDL, so... But the truck driver with the tools, the iPad, goes out and they see where the picture was taken by the resident, that we have to fix the sidewalk or fix the pothole, or we have something that's disintegrating, and so, or we're in the truck and we're using too much salt, or GPS is telling you where it's got to be redirected. I mean, these are all technology-driven solutions to problems that we embrace on a moment-by-moment basis, but don't have the tools to be able to solve or satisfy on a moment-by-moment basis.
Very good point, yeah.
So you're saying that every person will have the capacity or ability to adapt and grow from this experience.
That's my hope. You know, again, I hope it's not somebody that's saying, I'm leaving in 2 years, I don't want to do this, you know. But yes, I mean, the idea is to get everybody engaged and to be a part of it, absolutely.
Yeah, I understand. We've integrated new technology in the private sector, and you get 50 people that are part of it, and you know, you got 10 that are super excited about it. They lead the charge. You got 35 that are part of it, and they know they grow from it. And you got 5 that say, you know, maybe it's time to hang it up. So but that it's that 15 or so that you have to pull a little harder, but once they see it, they can't go back, and they realize the benefits of it. So, and Vice Mayor, I didn't mean to monopolize this last segment, but I figured are the issues that I need to have my team who are on this Zoom to be fully engaged in this process once we make the commitment.
Now, Mayor, what I wanted to clarify is, now is this going to be commitment to every department that the city has, or is going to be brought on slowly through the building department, engineering maybe, or service? Is this going to affect every department that the city has?
Every department, ultimately, eventually, the goal is every department. But Chris or Matt, maybe you want to share how we begin the integration.
Yeah, I mean, so they're, you know, again, I don't want to sit here and pound you over the head with more tile or software, but there's other things that Tyler does. We do financial software. We do, you know, tax and appraisal software. So an idea would be, let's say, for example, on the Energov side, you took in a new permit. Well, that permit revenue could actually flow into Tyler's software and integrate automatically. It could tell the appraisal software to charge more taxes for that. Well, the appraisal software could say, hey, there's a lien on this property. It can talk back to Energov and say, don't allow this person to apply for a permit. So there's a lot of ways that we can connect through all the Tyler software, kind of big picture. Today, you know, the departments that we're talking about, building and planning and the service and engineering departments, are kind of the ones most affected by the Energov and the enterprise asset maintenance software. But there are other things that we do in K-12, public safety. Those are all just different Tyler products that on the back end all communicate with one another as well. Does that make sense? Is that?
So does this coordinate, Chris, with the county software too? Because a lot of those records are with our county that we'd have to find out as far as liens go, and I don't know if it goes into the court system or not too, but I just want, how integrated does it go with county and possibly state software too?
That's a great question. If it's I'm not positive what the county's products are, if they're Tyler products, there's an integration most likely that we can leverage it out of the box. If it's something that we needed to leverage, we could potentially build an integration to it, or just, you know, write something back and forth. But I see this a lot, like the appraisal software IDS world might be based in the county or the state level, and we report up to that automatically. Claremont County, Ohio, for example, I know we do that in Claremont. We do that in New York, we do the state of Massachusetts. So I'd have to double check on the county side.
Vice Mayor, maybe if I could add a little bit here.
Yes.
You know, the building department is already integrated with the Energov platform, which is part of the Tyler system. And as we unroll the Enterprise Asset Management, I'm starting to become part of the Tyler family. I'm starting to use those
acronyms.
We obviously see the important benefits of bringing on probably next the service department, engineering department, as the next two big go-to departments to handle their workflow, especially since those two departments work so closely together. However, one of the things that you did see was the Tyler 311 app, and so that's really going to touch a lot of departments to make sure that information is available to our residents through that platform as well. So there's going to be touch points throughout the city, through every department, but heavily focused, obviously, on the building department, who's come already on board, through our engineering department, service department, technical services, and even through Parks and Rec as they move their workflow into the system. So, you know, if Parks need to send a crew out to pick up trash, it can be done through this system as well.
Jessica, does it ultimately coordinate with the finance department too? I mean, as far as, is that a goal of this ultimately, or do the app products that connects with them?
So there are Tyler products. They do have a finance package. We have not explored that to see how it compares with the VIP system that we have. But there is potential down the road to have that bigger integration. And I think Chris kind of touched upon how all of the back end these systems speak to one another.
I'd leave that. A lot of that will be, Vice Mayor, that'll be determined by the finance department. I mean, I think that's something that they'll help us navigate through sometime in the future, though.
And again, remember, this is all of that layered information going on that GIS platform. So as we continue to build information and layer that information utilizing GIS, it's only going to help build the information we have about our history and our assets. Cuyahoga County does maintain some GIS data, which we'd be able to pull into it, that we'd be able to add in our own as well.
Very good. Any other questions from council?
Dale?
Well.
Dale? Yeah, because I can't see everybody's faces. Debbie, all to help me.
Okay.
I was wearing a disguise.
Take down the presentation.
Jim, you sent a memo to us before and indicated to us that you were involved in a couple of different applications of new software. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned that struck me is, you know, we talk about the group of people that are gung-ho, and I guess my question involves, you know, is there something in place for the people that are more reluctant to encourage and bring them along and not help them or have them feel alienated and frustrated? I mean, to me, that's one of the bigger pieces of the puzzle is, you know, that the group of people that aren't so quick to jump into the technology, and how do you help them buy in?
We've spent a lot of time thinking about that and having conversations. Leticia is on the line as well, and she can add a little bit more to that. But we really want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. There will be a lot of training that goes along in this process. And the things that Councilperson Trakis outlined in his email are all in line with the things that we've discussed and have planned going forward. Actually, Leticia just walked in. she doesn't have a microphone. So it's really important, and you know, I have the experience of seeing how another community implemented a similar process and product. And part of that, again, was making sure that all the staff had buy-in, that change didn't just happen overnight. And again, that training and support were given all along the way. And I think Leticia may want to add some more.
Right, we do anticipate that once approved and as this gets started, we are going to be involving all of our folks in understanding it and contributing to it and working with people along the way to make sure that they understand what's going on, they have the training that's needed, they have the support that's needed. And so we understand that this is going to be something to really spend time with our people on. But we think that the just based on the energy that we have in the building department, they put this in and those folks are really psyched about what it's doing for them. And so we know we can get through it and we bring people along.
I think that'd be my main concern is that all the department heads are comfortable with that and that it's you know, brought in, not rushed in, but that they really approve and kind of grasp the intent of what we're trying to do here. And I know myself, I'm a dinosaur as far as that goes, so it might be a little more reluctant, but with the people that we have, it really being, this is the future, and I know how the younger generation does everything by their phone and by the apps and everything. So I think eventually once we get this, but it's going to be a process that will take time. I know it's not going to be overnight. And even for the residents, you're going to have a certain amount of residents that will grasp, but there's a certain segment that don't even have computers or the phone. So it's going to, but I like the way I just see the results, how we can do in the building department working with our users there, public, and see the success from there and then build on. So I like to see more of a gradual build up than a also overnight we're doing this and getting it forced down our throats. So to me, it's how long has the building department have this software now, Jessica?
The building department rolled theirs out this fall.
I see.
But it took them a while to get there. I mean, we imagine the same thing. It's not going to be us flipping a switch and having the system going 100% right out the gate. Things like we wouldn't force residents to necessarily use a mobile app, but the option is there should they want to. And I think that's the key, is that we're giving them more options to communicate with us and to use modern day tools. You talked about the directors, and the whole process of us even getting to this place was all of the directors sitting down and evaluating the multiple platforms that are out there. And this came as a consensus when we all sat down and saw the capabilities of the Tyler platform and the success that our building department has had. It really motivated us to see the potential going forward and that this could be the best solution for us to make that big leap.
Very good. Well, like I said, I'd like to see a gradual rollout and the success of it. One thing I kind of, and this is just being nostalgic and everything, but I mean, towards the end of my career, but I miss the personal touch when I was first started doing legal work and real estate work and everything. I enjoyed my camaraderie with the people that I actually, you know, worked with at the courthouse and at the the county. But now you don't have that same camaraderie. It's cold and impersonal, and I think a lot of it's missed. I mean, that might just be me, but I like to know who I'm working with share an interest, and then it's kind of, I miss it now because the people down at the courthouse, they could care less about, you know, the people coming in or their families or anything. Where in the old days we were all kind of like family and that. So it's kind of, that's the way the world is nowadays, but I know we have to be efficient. But I do miss that personal touch where you really work with people and get to know them and feel like you have, you want to help them and they help you and everything. Now it seems like you're spending half your time frustration behind an iPad or a computer, a keyboard, or your phone even. The personal touch is gone.
I think one of the things that you'll see is the more information we're able to layer on, the more personal feel we'll be able to give to our residents. So if we continue to come out, we can see how things have changed over time. And it's not like, well, I'm going to have to talk to so-and-so, or we don't know what happened before. So it will make us look more prepared when we do come out and have those conversations with residents.
Very good. That's how I like to keep that personal. It's especially with residents. They want to know. I mean, they have a comfort level with people that they're dealing with. And if they're dealing with an app or a computer and that, I don't think that the comfort level is great. At least it isn't with me. So any other counsel, any other questions that you may have of our esteemed gentleman here or Jessica or even the mayor?
I have a Dave. Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I have a question for Chris. So how long in your expertise does this process take to be 100% vested? I mean, I agree with Vice Mayor Grindel about the personal part of it, and I'm an old codger too, so, you know, I like that old personal contact with the residents, but I see that's not the wave of the future. I agree 100% on the way we're going, but you know, in my mind, I like to keep both aspects of it, the old way of doing business and the new way of doing business. So how long does that process take? I don't want to say 100% buy-in from everybody, meaning,
yes,
you know, the workforce and the residents,
sure.
But,
right,
you know, if you've been doing this for 10 years, you've got to have some kind of, you know, time frame of when, like, you get to 80-90% of it working. You know,
that's a good question. I can speak a little bit more on the building. I mean, you know, I was a builder, and I'm used to coming in with my paper plan sets. I'm used to calling up every day, hey, can I get an inspection? Did I pass? Did I do this? And now, learning that I could go online to find out if I passed the inspection or I could submit my plans online, you know, that helps. But you still have that personal interaction where if it's something that for you still probably need to come into the office and talk to somebody. There's face to face. But if I'm, you know, a plumber and I'm doing water heater change outs on a regular basis and I just need to submit a quick permit for that, that's a pretty, you know, standard process. Why not be able to do that online? I've said this before, when we go live with most clients, 90-95% completely built out. And when I say that we're not completely built out, it's because they still are changing and evolving a little bit. You'll still say, wait a minute, we need to tweak this, so we need to change this workflow or this process. So, you know, once you go live, it probably takes, you know, another year or so before everything, all the processes have really resonated with everybody and they kind of work their way through the ranks, if you will.
Along that line, our staff, our team adapted quickly to all the COVID precautions and restrictions, and that's probably a good sign or good barometer of how they'll adapt to new technology.
That's great. I mean, that's really good.
I'm not worried so much, Mayor, about future development on Rockside Road and the clientele we deal with there or our staff. I'm more worried about the elderly residents buying into this program.
They're still going to be able to call City Hall or the service department and put in a work order. It's just going to mean on the back end we're able to track it.
Yeah, true. And we don't give up the old way of doing business.
No. For example, probably the best example would be, wouldn't it be great to take an iPad out and show them something that's going on? They ask a question, be able to go to their house and take an iPad, show them their property line, or show them the answer to the question that they brought to our attention. I think it's taking the technology to them is really what my goal is, to be able to just share with them our tools so that they can get comfortable with them. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yes, it does, Mayor. Thank you.
Mayor, this is Mike. If I could just interject here. We actually started our implementation with EnerGov. It was just about a year ago. And it was in November of last year that we went live, if you will. And we're still working through some of the processes and revising a few things as we see how things are evolving out of that. So it's not something that you say, okay, we're going to flick the switch and tomorrow we're going to be doing it something a different way. It's going to take time. It takes time. It's a process. It's a learning curve. It's a good learning curve. I'm not by any means complaining on that, but it's still a change, and it's getting used to it. And I think it will be as we get into it, I think it'll be a very comfortable change for everyone.
Yeah, I think what everybody to sum up that portion of it, I tell people this, you've heard me say, it's not like a light switch going on. This is more of a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Mayor, Jess, Tyler, this is Dave Snyder from Tech Service. I know you can't see me. I have my camera turned off, but I welcome this. Right now, we operate in Tech Service. We operate with a kind of antiquated system. It's impulse. It's a work order system. But we need something. We need this new software. It would help immensely with our department. Confer with my techs on a daily basis, hourly basis, and this would help. We do it over the phone, but obviously, we send pictures back and forth to one another. It's a lot of text. I think that this would just be something that I just welcome in Tech Service. That's all I can say is this: the program that we're working is probably more than 10 years old right now, and it's antiquated. It has its limits. So I'm all for this. I hope council. I hope they consider this, and it really would help us here in Tech Service. Thank you,
Dave. Now, Vern, is this part of the 5-year plan? Is this considered something that we would invest in the capital plan, or is this part of just our operating?
Vern, you're muted. 125 right now.
Yeah, we have up to, I believe it's 125,000 in there now for the initial investment, but after that I think it would become more of an operating expenditure. It's just the capital investment needed up front to get the program started and off the ground.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from council or mayor? Do you have any more to add to this?
No, I just appreciate the fact that everybody's taken the time to engage in this process, because team leaders and the team members, as Dave said, they've really invested a lot of time and energy into this process. The goal of getting council to buy in and buy this process so that we can begin this marathon.
Very good. Thank you.
If there's no other questions, we would prepare to have this on the March 9th agenda, if that's okay with council.
Oh, definitely. I think a little more explanation of how you're going to insert, if it's going to be a gradual rollout or that. But now we see how it operates. We know the intent, so I see no problem. We have to get into the 21st century and keep pushing forward and everything. And Tyler's a very well you know, well-reputed company and everything. So, yeah, I see no problem. Council, anybody else have a problem regarding moving forward on this? I see none. So, Jessica, it will be prepared. And if we have any questions early on, we get the legislation early enough and everything, we can, you know, ask you specific questions regarding it, or just to make sure that we're all on board.
Thank you.
Well, anything else before we, I guess, are we ready to close up the workshop? Dale, you have any?
Thank you, Chris and Matt.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thanks for everybody's time. I know it's a lot, and we appreciate you speaking with us.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, too, to give us that excellent presentation. So I guess if there's nothing further, we'll entertain a motion adjourned from a council member.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. It was very informative and gave us a lot to digest here.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Jessica.
Great job, team.